Wow, that first 2 hours flew by in a blur. Would be better if there was candy. No, candy. Weirdly enough, I came in tonight to prepare for the show, and what I saw in my locker. Now, this is my locker that Jay frequently stashes his stuff in. There were, I don't know, 3 or 4 pieces of candy just randomly in the bottom of the locker. And I feel as though that's all that Jay could salvage now that he's learned his lesson. He's decided to come back to using our locker where we used to safely store candy instead of being duped into donating to a community stash. I'm using my air quotations because I don't know, Jay, you tell me, how much other candy did you find in the locker once you finally picked the lock?
All right. You got to know when to cut your losses, and that's what I'm doing here.
So you're cutting our losses.
Cutting our losses. So
why is it that you didn't ask me if I wanted to cut our losses?
Well, I'm going back to the safe route of the locker I know, the locker where I know the candy will be there. Because I don't know. I just don't know if I can go in that other one. If I put other stuff in there, am I ever going to get it back? Is there going to be anything more contributed? The trust between the alliance is kind of
there's no alliance. There's no alliance. No, there's no alliance. You aligned without asking me if I wanted to align.
Yeah.
So that means that from now on, you are on your own. If you align with foreign entities... You never asked me to be part of this. I'm no longer contributing. In fact, I'm kicking you out of my locker. You go find your own way. You go forage and rummage somewhere else. You're not allowed to use my locker anymore.
No, that's ours.
No, it's not ours.
It is.
It's really not ours. How many years have you been here and how many years have I been here?
I've taken ownership. I take care of it. I clean it.
You're a liar. You know that, right? People believe you because they like you more than me, but you are a liar. No, it's so true. People think I'm so mean to you. Anyway.
You just kicked me out of the union.
I did. We didn't have a union. You broke the covenant when you decided that you would go out on your own and give away our candy blindingly, trustingly, and it turns out that it blew up in your face. Well, that's what you get for making an alliance without asking me how I felt about it.
So you would not have been... down for the alliance.
No, you locked our candy into someone else's locker, and those people don't work when we're working, so how are we ever supposed to get our candy back?
But you saw the potential of the idea.
No, I didn't.
Of the joint.
Where's the rest of the candy? Where's Where's the joint candy?
I don't know.
Where's the joint stash?
See, that's why we're getting out of this. We're breaking apart.
We were never in it. You were in it. You did not have my approval. Oh, are we?
Yes.
Are we a team?
This is...
Why didn't you think of that when you gave away our candy?
I was making an executive decision for the group, which didn't work. But now we're cutting our losses and we're back.
I love how you use we when you want someone else that you can drag down with you. It's funny that you decided you would make this executive decision on your own, but like every drowning man, now you feel the need to grab onto me and drag me down with you. You're a drowning man. You can't go down by yourself, so instead you're dragging me with you.
You could throw me like a life raft,
you're
but you're
panicking
out of the union.
And dragging me down with you, except I float and I'm kicking you out of the, I'm kicking you out of the locker.
There.
No more. I mean, it's better this way because...
Where will I go?
It's go back to your candy stashers. Go back to your candy thieves.
They can't be trusted
Become
anymore.
One of them. Join their gang. That's it. That's the only path left for you.
Be an Outlander.
At least you'll have candy when you provide it. They're not going to provide any candy. I tried to warn you. I tried.
They had all this talk of new...
Yeah.
Gummy.
You are
sour.
Too easily led around by the nose. It's a hook in your nose and you're just being led around by it. A little bit like when I went fishing, although there were no fish on the hooks, but that's what happens. That's the idea. They cast their line with some shiny candy bait on it and you took it hook, line, and sinker only to find out that there was really no candy. It was fake and now you've been duped and you have a hole in your lip.
But we're learning. We learned something.
I'm amazed at how you turn on the we all the way home. It's not we when it's you deciding to give our candy to someone else, but it's we when all of a sudden you are a man without a candy stash and now you need me again.
Yeah, you pretty much got it.
great. I have zero sympathy for you. None. I have more sympathy for Aaron Rodgers this morning than I have for you. Oh, dear. This is what it's come to. It's fine. It's totally fine.
It's totally fine.
Just want to point out again that when I say it's fine more than once, it's actually the exact opposite. Jay.
Totally fine.
When I tell you it's fine that you gave away our candy, it's actually the exact opposite. Go ahead and ask me how I feel about you and your executive decision to give away our candy.
So how do you feel about my executive decision?
It's fine. It's fine.
Okay.
It's fine. Do you hear me? It's fine. It's super fine. It's going to be fine.
I have other stuff.
Fine is such a passive-aggressive word. Have you ever noticed that? The funny thing is, so my mom doesn't agree with me about this. She thinks fine is good. Mom, fine is not good. Fine is fine. Fine is average. So when I'll send her a clip of the show, or I'll send her, she'll listen to me do a game, something along those lines. And I'll say to her, Mom, what did you think? How was it? It was fine. It was fine. What does that mean? I poured my heart and soul into that. I was really excited and it was fine. It was good, Amy. It was fine. No, good and fine are not the same things. So there are two types of people in this world. Some people who think that good is actually good. Fine is average. Which side, which school of thought are you on? Because in my opinion, fine is the base. It's the baseline. It's average.
I will say that I was always just like, yeah, it's fine. It's like meaning no problem, meaning it's good. But I was on the latter side of the fence. But since
the latter side of the fence?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of the two examples you just gave.
Oh, gotcha.
But I will say that you're the one who actually, when I think I said like, oh, like it was fine to you once, like when we first started working and you were like, that's not, what does that mean? And I'm like, it's fine. I was like, it's fine. It's good. You're like, those are two different things.
Yeah, fine and good
are not
the same thing.
Since you put that in my head, I feel like I actually really do think about that.
Look
now.
It up. Fine is fine and good. When you look up the word fine in the dictionary, it doesn't say good.
Like when I hear someone say, oh, it's fine, I'm like, oh, wow, it could have been better. Or what do you think? Like,
absolutely could have been better.
I used to totally not care at all.
It's
but
not a superlative.
Yeah.
It's middle of the road. Fine is just exactly that. And also, it's very passive aggressive. Have you ever noticed that a lot of people, when they say it's fine, maybe it's just chicks. When we say it's fine, it's not fine.
Yeah.
Okay? When you ask me how I'm doing and the only thing I can come up with is fine, just know that there's something else behind that.
But good is okay?
Good is...
good.
Good is good. Exactly. Why do we have to redefine fine? Don't answer that question. It was very confusing. Also, so this is what I mean. People think that you are the innocent victim on After Hours. Chris, you're a bully to Jay. LOL. No, there's so many things wrong with this. LOL being one of them. LOL is my pet peeve. And second of all, Chris refuses to see the facts for what they are, which is that you gave away our candy stash. But now I'm the bully. You essentially took candy out of my pocket and my locker, but I'm the bully.
Because you kicked me out, and I'm trying to right this wrong.
I did. Are you?
I already have.
Have you?
Yes.
Where's the candy?
It was back in your locker.
There's like three pieces left.
Well, I mean, I can't control that, but...
Oh, you can't? You have zero control over that?
I got it back, all right.
You got three pieces back?
Three pieces is better than
Who's the
nothing.
Guy who's sending us candy? Who's sending us candy? Didn't you give our address to someone?
Yes, that's Carlos.
Great. Give our address to a stalker. See how that works out.
Yeah.
I mean, you're batting
Company
a thousand
address.
This week. So what kind of candy are we getting?
I don't know. He said expect a package Monday. He said it should come. And I don't know, a box of goods, maybe some Skittles.
You M&Ms. Eat candy for breakfast with your Reese's Peanut Butter Cup cereal or whatever it is.
Reese's Puffs cereal.
Exactly. Same thing. So... yes. I'm a bully.
It's a cereal.
I'm a bully, says Chris. But here's what I know. I don't randomly give away bags of candy and they just disappear. I don't randomly trust people. You got duped so badly that you were locked out of your candy stash.
Not a great moment for me.
Not a great moment. It was fine. It was fine.
It's fine. It's all good. It's all fine.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. I definitely feel the need to bully Jay back into his own lane because he decided he was going to make executive decisions for the show. And look what happened. This is what happens when Jay starts making decisions.
Tried.
You
trying out here.
You tried to step out. It blew up in your face horribly.
Just trying things.
This is what
Can't
happens.
Win out here.
No. I would have been so proud of you if this is actually had actually worked. You took initiative.
Exactly.
You took ownership. Instead, we have zero candy left. The candy's gone. That's all I'm saying.
My head was in the right place.
Was it?
My heart was.
I think
was.
Your
not
head, head was with yeah. the candy. That's all you can. You heard double the candy, and you just you threw caution to the wind.
Yeah.
You didn't even ask me. That's the part that just, you know. Chris, I may be a bully, but Jay is, he's deceitful. He went behind
no.
my back. You went behind my back.
Deceit is so strong here.
You went behind my back.
But you were going to be the beneficiary.
But
like
I'm
I was
not the beneficiary.
Cutting a deal with like
oh,
the other
you
gang.
Were so cutting a deal with the other gang.
Gonna, like cut your portions out. No,
you
you're
were
the same
so
as me.
Cutting a deal. You cut a deal. You did cut a deal. And it's not
I tried.
Fine. And it blew up in your face royally. And actually, you only hurt you because you're the candy fiend, and now the candy is gone.
It's like the Carson Wentz to Indy trade.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So on Twitter, After Hours CBS, if you want to weigh in, well, not about the candy, because that's really it's a done deal. Jay's out. Or if you would like to join us in the After Hours Bracket Challenge, and then also on our Facebook page. So both Twitter and Facebook, it's pinned to the top of that page. We will get back to Aaron Rodgers and how fine he is. Oh, no, that sounded really weird. Like I was, okay, can we strike that from the record, please? He said he's fine. I didn't say he's fine. He said he's fine. But we got a couple of other stories that we want to get to. For instance, the Buccaneers have found the successor to Tom Brady. Kind of. This is not a long-term solution unless their successor to Tom Brady plays out of his mind. What a difference a year makes, right? What a difference a year makes. Baker Mayfield, a year ago, was humbled in a way that was very public. And so we talked about it then. His team, the Cleveland Browns, they kind of indicated to him at the combine and to his camp at the combine in 2022 that they were planning on at least investigating other options at quarterback. He found out through social media, or he didn't find out from the team. He found out secondhand that the team had made an offer in or had started courting Deshaun Watson and had put an offer in. Initially, Baker is hurt and takes to Insta, I think it was Insta, and Twitter, and he writes this big, long Dear John letter to break up with the Browns. It was a preemptive strike, if you will, because he was hurt. He was upset. As I told you about Aaron Rodgers, no one likes to be replaced. No one even likes to hear that we feel like we can do better than you. Whether it's personal or professional, that's a hard moment to process for anybody, for any human. So Baker, because he's an emotional girl, or has been in his past, he takes to his social media and he writes this big preemptive goodbye letter. It devolves from there. Obviously, it was public. Everybody weighs in. It turns into a mess. Ultimately, even after Deshaun Watson eliminates the Browns as a contender, what happens? They decide to offer him $230 million fully guaranteed. And then, in fact, he takes the job and Baker's out. Baker then lets it be known he would like to be the quarterback for the Colts. He thinks that'd be a really good fit for him. Oh, except the Colts actually went with the older former MVP, Matt Ryan, whose best days are behind him. We know that. But that was what they chose instead of him. So more humiliation. He's quiet for probably 3 months. All the other quarterback jobs, except for... Now, Seattle was set on Geno, but there was still some talk that they were going to bring in Baker or another veteran. They don't. Ultimately, the Panthers offer him a deal. He starts against his former team, but he doesn't start very long. And he doesn't even last the season there. It was not a good fit. He gets cut. He goes to the Rams. He has an incredible moment with Los Angeles on Monday Night Football where he leads them back in the fourth quarter with a pair of touchdown passes. But that wasn't a long-term solution either. And man, what a difference a year makes. From being the franchise quarterback that the Browns selected number one overall in their draft to being a QB without a gig who's now done with his rookie deal. Didn't have the fifth-year option picked up as an overall number one pick. They did not take that fifth-year option. So he's done looking for a job. Finds one, $4 million. He's a starting quarterback potentially. And his deal starts at $4 million. It can be worth up to, are you ready? $8.5 million. Compare that to Jimmy Garoppolo and what he just got, even though he's oft injured. What he just got from the Raiders. Forget comparing it to the best quarterbacks in the league. Now, I'm not saying the man is going to go hungry or that he's poor by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, he's now going to be playing in Florida where you get to keep more of your money as a professional athlete. But wow, what a difference a year makes, right? Very striking. Is he going to be the starter? That's the question. Ian Rappaport on the Bucks signing Baker to back up Kyle Trask. I don't know, but potentially Tom Brady's replacement.
The money is what it is. The quarterback market, not great this time of year, mainly because there was no opening. So it's $4 million base up to 8.5 with incentives. But for Baker Mayfield, just wants to play. And actually, we've seen Baker Mayfield kind of disregard money before. Gave up a couple $1 million to end up going to the Carolina Panthers for the opportunity to start there. Did not work out great. Went to the Los Angeles Rams. Really impressed in incredibly difficult circumstances. Also delivering one of the most memorable performances of the entire season. Last year in prime time, leading the Rams all the way back to a dramatic win. And now Baker Mayfield agrees to terms with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the opportunity to compete. And I would say this, guys, we've spent a lot of time in Tampa over the last couple seasons in training camp. I would imagine we'll be there again. Really one of the more interesting quarterback battles looms in Tampa.
So battle, that's what Ian Rappaport calls it on the NFL Network. He calls it a battle with a guy who hasn't played any football. Not much to speak of. Wow. I don't think this is a bad situation for Baker, though. How highly motivated is he? Extremely. We know that's his personality. And there are no expectations, really, for Tampa. Brady's gone. A lot of their Super Bowl pieces have moved on or are gone. This is an opportunity for him to start fresh and work his way back up. Also, I don't know what had happened, but I now view Baker Mayfield. Did I say Brady a second ago? I might have. I now view Baker Mayfield as a sympathetic figure. Crazy enough. Never would have thought that. Life and certainly pro sports have a way of humbling you.
So I would love to show up at somebody's cubicle and just boo the shit out of them.
Yeah, there's no more of that. He's not talking smack anymore, at least not right now. He may again. We may see Baker ride again. Back to the smack talk. Back to the flag planting in the middle of the field. We may see that. I don't know, though. But this is not a bad space to be in. I believe Baker will ride again. But it's a one-year deal, a prove-it deal that is very cheap. As Ian Rappaport says, there weren't that many options left. You know where I still am not exactly sure what they're doing at quarterback? That's Charlotte. The Carolina Panthers. We know that they traded a lot to get the overall number one pick, but now there are rumors that they might trade it back to the Colts. They sign Andy Dalton. They're making moves. So I do like what they've done so far with Frank Reich as their quarterback. Big fan of Frank Reich. One of their latest moves is to sign Miles Sanders, the former Eagles running back. 4 years, $25 million. And he's coming off a huge year for the NFC champs. Pro bowler for the first time, nearly 1,300 yards, 11 touchdowns. And no Eagles running back has gone over the 1,000-yard mark on the ground in nearly a decade, not since Shady McCoy in 2014. So good for Miles Sanders. I like what Frank's doing so far, but ultimately, the quarterback carousel has to land on a winner. Otherwise, they're going to stay in that same cycle. Same thing with the Commanders. Somebody want to tell me what the Commanders are doing at quarterback? And please, Sam Howell, he's unproven. I'm not telling you he can't be the guy, but right now he's not the guy. He's unproven. Gosh, they bring in Jacoby Brissett. It feels to me like more of the same. You may have a lot of other really attractive pieces, but without the quarterback, you are stuck in neutral. I hope Ron Rivera can figure it out. I hope they can figure it out. Maybe they'll get one in the draft as well, but gosh. The pickings are slim. We knew it was going to be more demand than supply for viable quarterbacks this offseason. So good for the Saints. Good for the Saints. They got their man early. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, if you want to join the After Hours Bracket Challenge, we'd love to have you. I'll just admit right now that I'm going to lose like in a flaming red Sharpie kind of way. But that's all right. I enjoy playing. And then also on our Facebook page. So the link is pinned to the top of each of our Twitters and our Facebook page. Let's see. What do I want to do coming up? Oh, gosh. Banner night for Steph Curry. But, yeah. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Curry dribbles on man, gets the paint, ball knocked away. Curry gets it back, stumbles, flipped it up from the face plant, knocked it down.
Looking for Leonard, can't find him initially. Now gets the screen to his right. Man steps it back, thought about the three feet. Leonard, left wing three is up.
It's down. Kawhi Leonard's got 30. 118-106.
Curry off the screen, splits traffic to the paint, one-hander for 15, money. Cold hard cash, he's got a 50-point game.
Bounce pass, man, open on the left wing, driving middle to the dotted line, hook it outside, George, a left wing three, book it!
Paul George, butter! And the Clippers lead by 13, their largest of the night. 132-119, timeout Warriors.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The road woes for the Golden State Warriors continue. Despite a banner night for Steph Curry, the Clippers prevail in the end. The call's there with Tim Roy on Warriors Radio, Noah Eagle on Clippers Radio, Kawhi Leonard in the closer role in this game. And so ultimately, they're able to pull away in that fourth quarter. And I think the Clippers are a force to be reckoned with because they're healthy. So I'm not telling you that this was a gimme for the Warriors, but the fact remains that the Warriors struggle away from home, and that one of their Achilles heels over this era with Steph and Clay and Draymond and Steve Kerr and this coaching staff, one of their Achilles heels is always unforced errors, unforced turnovers. And in this game, one in which the final margin was 8 points, the Clippers scored 20 off the Warriors' turnovers. So ultimately, 16 turnovers that lead to 20 points. For the Clippers, they only allow 11 points off turnovers. So there's your disparity right there. The margin is 9 points off turnovers. The winning margin for the Clippers, 8. Not only do they fall to 7 and 27 away from home, but they give up 134 points to the Clippers, which is a lot of points. That's the issue, is that they do not defend well on the road. It's been that way all year. Now, they score well a lot of times, but therein lies the other major problem on Wednesday night. Despite 50 points from Steph, the Warriors don't win. What does it take for them to win on the road? Because apparently 50 points from Steph is not enough.
I'm actually not frustrated. I mean, I loved our effort. Our guys were connected, came out and battled. I thought the Clippers played a great game. You know, they had 30 assists and 7 turnovers. They shot the lights out from three, you know, made 16 threes. Their offensive rebounding was a huge factor in the game, but, you know, that's especially with, you know, our roster the way it is right now with missing a lot of key guys, we're vulnerable on the glass. So I just thought the Clippers played a great game. I love the way our guys played. They hung in there. Steph was just sublime. That was incredible to watch him play tonight. It was a great, great game.
Yes, but it remains an issue for the Warriors. 20 of 28. 20 of 28 for Steph Curry. 8 of 14 from beyond the arc. 50 points, 6 assists, and to my knowledge, did not hit another ball boy upside the head with a long-range jumper.
Me, it's nice to play well and shoot well. That's what I expect to do every night. No matter what the stat sheet looks like after the game, it's just frustrating when you can't get over the hump and figure out a way to get a win, especially with where we've been all season on the road. So just our job is to just keep playing, keep competing at a high level and try to figure it out. And you know, whatever I gotta do in the process individually, it's what I expect to do. So I'm just gonna keep doing that.
It's like when a guy's throwing a no-hitter, you know, you just leave him alone. Let him sit in the dugout and in between innings and don't say anything to him. It was stunning watching that show tonight, watching some of the shot-making, the playmaking. You know, we're so lucky on so many levels to coach Steph, to play with Steph, our fans being able to watch Steph. And He puts on a great show every single night, but this ranks right up there with some of the great individual performances that I've ever seen from him.
No doubt he is a one-man show, but that's the problem. He can't be a one-man show. There's got to be help. There's got to be support. Something else, actually, that's significant from this game, and the reason why I will note it and why it caught my attention is because Draymond Green got into that war of words, shall we say, or continued his war of words with Dillon Brooks of the Memphis Grizzlies, who, by the way, will be hosting the Warriors coming up on Saturday. It's a nationally televised game on Saturday night, so you don't want to miss it if you love the extracurricular activity. So Draymond said to us after that game when he was sniping about Dillon Brooks that he gets technical when he wants to get technicals. He doesn't get baited into getting technicals. No, it's intentional. Well, he intentionally picked up his 16th technical foul on Wednesday, which means he is now in line for a one-game suspension.
I expect something to change. I got one tech this year because a ref yelled at me, and I said, if I yell at you, I'm going to get fined. I got a tech for it. So I think something will change, because if that's a tech, then every word you say on the court is a tech, so we'll see.
So in other words, he's saying that he thinks the league will rescind this technical foul, that it won't actually stand once the full facts come out. And I will give credit to the league. They very often, actually, they review all techs because they're evaluating their officials. Not just that, but they're looking at whether or not players need to be fined or need to be levied some type of extra punishment or penalty. They look at all of this stuff, and very often they do rescind technical fouls. Or have you ever seen they rescind flagrant twos? The problem is if a guy gets kicked out for something that happens on the court and then the NBA walks it back, it's too late for him to make a difference, right? But in this case, it would be about a suspension for Draymond Green, which is kind of funny because he was just poking fun at Dillon Brooks for getting too many technicals and having to serve a one-game suspension, and now here he's in that same position.
You're not a champ. You're a clown.
So, Jay, very often, all the way through the day on Wednesday, following our home show, we end up getting more questions for Ask Amy Anything because people see the post after the fact. And so when I wake up on Wednesday afternoons, I try to go back and answer as many questions as I can. One of our frequent listeners, in fact, he's a young man that is in college now and is studying to be a broadcaster, radio host. He loves the show. He listens faithfully when he can. He asked this question that I didn't have a chance to answer. Well, we had a whole big mess during Ask Amy Anything. We had to pivot because Jay was caught up in something else. So I was answering the questions. I was reading them and answering myself. Anyway, one of the questions was, if you had to have a co-host, like how I put it, if you have to have a co-host, who would you choose, past or present? And you're going to laugh at this, but I instantly thought it would be a heck of a lot of fun to co-host a show with Draymond Green.
I would agree. That would be amazing.
I already laugh a fair amount on the air. Do you imagine that I would ever? I mean, he's
not an
very
FCC regulated show, though. I don't think I'd be a little cautious.
Right. What his is called, The Volume.
Yes.
It's very appropriate.
Yeah.
Actually, for him and for me, because I have plenty of volume. No one's ever accused me of being too quiet. So anyway, that was one answer. But I think what was being asked was about an actual member of the media and who else I would like to host with. So I'm not going to make you guess because there's too many options out there. But she is one of our favorite NFL peeps to have on the show. We always, not only do we laugh, but we could go on and on forever. Lindsay Rhodes. So that's what I put out there. The Rhodes Show, the NFL Rhodes Show, is her podcast and her SiriusXM show. She's big into fantasy. She's a total draft nerd. She's amazing. And so I did include her on the tweet, and she responded with a party hat and one of those noisemakers that, you know, indicates party.
I think I could have guessed that.
Could you?
I think so.
Really? Like you guessed my middle name?
Dad, I did.
You didn't. You looked it up.
I 100% did.
I don't believe you still.
No.
No one guesses my middle name.
Except me.
People have been trying for years, and somehow now Jay thinks he's clairvoyant or a savant because he managed to look it up somewhere.
First try. Look it up in the depths of my brain.
It's not super deep, if we're being honest.
I set myself up for that one.
You did. Also, just to clarify, because I got this wrong, I remember that Baker did not play on his fifth year with the Browns, but they did pick up his fifth year. He played on that fifth year with the Panthers. So, Craig, thank you for the correction. Played the four seasons in Cleveland, finished out his rookie deal as the overall number one draft pick in Charlotte, kind of. He didn't actually finish it out.
I think Baker's our quarterback.
What a difference a year makes. All right, coming up, let's see, what do we want to do coming up? A little more on the Edwin Diaz situation from the World Baseball Classic. And also, we had the conclusion of the first four in Dayton. So two more winners that are onto the main bracket. If you haven't filled out your bracket yet, we've got tips for you straight from the King.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Horn on the run, right to left. Euro step around Pettigrew. He lays it in. DJ Horn with 18 points to lead all scorers. It's 87-64 Sun Devils. Horn to the left elbow, rises up and hits again. And DJ Horn gives a little rock the cradle motion. Horn with 20, 98-70.
To go out there and play a game like that, it's definitely going to have a lasting memory. But yeah, man, I think that when we get off to starts like that, it just, you know, feeds on to everybody on the team and it just builds energy, and I feel like it showed tonight.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
DJ Horn, one of the stars of the show for the Arizona State Sun Devils. 20 points for him, 4 of 5 from beyond the arc to defeat the Nevada Wolfpack in what was a battle of 11 seeds. At the first four. So the first four is done. We go into the main bracket today, and we're talking mere hours. First game tips off in just over 7.5 hours. So you got to be ready. If your brackets aren't done, the After Hours Bracket Challenge on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page, the call there on the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. We know that many of you are procrastinators, like we are procrastinators, and actually that refers to both Jay and I, we collectively, because neither one of us has done our brackets yet. Nope. We wanted to have full information, so we feel as though we've absorbed a ton. But if you're looking for some intel, maybe a couple of tough decisions you have to make and you're not sure which way to go, Jerry Palm was with us in the studio on Selection Sunday. And I asked him some of the questions that would help me fill out my bracket, some keys to being last man or woman standing especially if you want to win the After Hours swag. So we want to bring back just a chunk of that conversation with the longtime bracketologist for CBS Sports. Jerry told me that Purdue's region is the toughest. Okay, so Purdue is in what is a buzzsaw of a region, the top seed in the East. But I said to him, Houston, Kansas, Alabama, those are the other number one seeds. Which one has the easiest route?
I think Alabama's road is relatively easy. You know, Alabama, you're the overall number one seed. I mean, that should be part of being the overall number one seed. They don't really think of it that way because they don't bracket based on the strength of the teams. They treat all of the twos. They think of all of the twos as the same, all of the threes as the same. And teams go in the bracket based on geography. They will put you at the closest available site that they can put you, because that's what really drives the bracket. So for Alabama, the teams in their part of the bracket works out to a little bit easier path for them. But it's the NCAA tournament. Nothing's really easy.
No, of course not. It's why it's three of the greatest weeks in the entire sports calendar. Jerry Palm, we always look forward to him being in studio following the selection show. One team he got wrong, one. The stats and the numbers and the process has changed, but you have not, Jerry. You are the same. You continue to follow it. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. We always love Cinderellas this time of the year. Mm-hmm. So a couple of teams you think people should at least consider as Cinderellas that could make an extended dance.
Okay, so there were three double-digit seeds that I like, and I liked them before I saw the bracket. Two of them did not get great draws, and I don't even care. I'm picking them anyway. One is VCU, the A-10 champion. That's a team that was one of the favorites in that league. It ended up being a one-bid league this year, which is kind of unusual, but they had some injury problems in non-conference play when they can resume build. Dayton as well did. And so they ended up with a 12 seed, which is probably below their actual quality. I think VCU could win a couple of games.
Okay.
Drake from the Missouri Valley, with Tucker DeVries, the son of the coach. And he's good enough to play at a high major school. He's not. He's playing with his dad. And that's a very good team. He's a really good player. They've got a chance to win at least a game or two. And then my third one, with the one I'm least confident in now that I've seen the bracket, is Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts from the Summit League. You may remember 2 years ago they were in the Sweet 16.
Yes.
With leading scorer in the nation at that time, Max Asemus. Well, he's still there. And a couple other guys from that team are still there. Now, the problem for them is they get Duke. Size matchup might be troublesome for them, but that's a team that already knows they can win. Like, a lot of these teams think they can win, and maybe they can win, but Oral Roberts knows they can win because they just did it not that long ago. So,
a 30-win team.
Yeah, yeah. So, they're the only team to go undefeated through their conference this season. So, tremendous. So, they're going to get Duke. They've got some matchup problems with Duke, but, you know, they're not going to lay down for them either.
One of the metrics I look at when I'm filling out brackets, or just in general, which I feel tells me how battle-tested a team may be, is strength of schedule. You mentioned Kansas being far and away
number one,
tops in the country in strength of schedule. What's a metric that maybe you look at or that you feel like gives an accurate assessment of a team and its value, but not just that, its ability to win in a tournament?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I don't really look at the metrics too much. Like, Ken Pomeroy's got great stuff. Yes, Ken Pom. I mean, you could just look at his rankings and you could pick teams off his rankings and you probably get 2/3, you know, because that's...
He's got a defensive ranking, right?
Yeah.
For teams?
Yeah. He's got offensive and defensive efficiency, and it's like adjusted and tempo adjusted and things like that. And it's really, you know, if you're geeky that way, it's pretty good stuff. Teams that get to the Final Four, and especially teams that win the tournament, invariably have got a high first-round draft pick on their roster. Invariably. Now, so, you know, Brandon Miller at Alabama, Marcus Sasser at Houston, Jalen Wilson at Kansas, Zach Edey at Purdue 10 years ago when they still played through the post in the NBA, but they don't anymore.
No.
But he's that level of a player, just not for that league. So teams like that, and you can easily identify others, that those are the kinds of players I look for. I also look for experienced guards, which, for example, Purdue does not have, at least not in the starting lineup, and defensive good defensive teams, good free throw shooting teams.
Yes, free throw shooting, yes.
But you have to be in a game where the free throw shooting matters.
Right, for sure.
So, but you have fewer possessions. Oh, and good rebounding teams, because you can create new possessions for yourself. But you have fewer possessions in NCAA tournament games, mostly because teams just play a little tighter. So you don't get as much up and down. Even with teams that play that style, will not do it as much. They'll do it more than others, but not as much. So, you know, if you can take care of the ball, if you can get rebounds, if you can shoot free throws, you've got a pretty good chance to win most of your games.
The number of times that I shout at the TV or that I tweet during March Madness, offensive rebounds are sexy! You're going to hear that, see that a lot, because Jerry's right. And the rest of our conversation, there's great intel in the rest of it as well about the top seeds, about Rutgers still being the team that snubbed 2 years in a row. But really just a good prep for what's to come, which some people would call the four best days on the entire sports calendar. Four consecutive days. I say it's a perfect tournament. If you missed any of our interviews, including Jerry, Miami coach Jim Larrañaga, Darren DeVries of Drake, all kinds of players, Keontae George from Baylor, check out our podcast. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.